Dispatches from Dakar. Audio reports on the World Social Forum 2011 in Dakar, Senegal, produced for broadcast on campus and community radio stations globally. In this segment of Dispatches from Dakar, we will hear from Patrick Bond from the Center for Civil Society at the University of KwaZulu-Natal in Durban, South Africa. Bond speaks on the current mobilization throughout Africa and globally against the upcoming UN Summit on Climate Change to take place in Durban, South Africa in November-December 2011. Bond speaks about the mobilization against the summit in the context of a growing climate crisis globally, detailing the ways in which grassroots movements in South Africa are preparing to mobilize against the UN climate conference as non-representative and not addressing climate from a social justice perspective. After the widely perceived failure of COP17, the upcoming UN conference in South Africa is facing a major mobilization of grassroots activists who reject a UN process that fails to meaningfully include communities globally directly impacted by climate change. Okay, well, first of all, if you could just introduce yourself briefly.
Patrick Bond, I'm a director of the Center for Civil Society in University of KwaZulu-Natal in Durban, South Africa.
Okay, and there's a lot of discussion here in Dakar at the World Social Forum in the lead up to the climate summit in South Africa. A lot of talk about mobilization, protest actions. Maybe if you could just give a picture as to the main points people have been focusing on here in Dakar in the preparations for this mobilization.
Well, that's certainly right. Because Copenhagen was considered an absolute disaster in terms of, you know, the five big countries that signed on to the Copenhagen Accord, the U.S. along with four from the middle-income countries, South Africa amongst them, China, Brazil, and India as well. And then in Cancun, after that disaster, no credibility for that process. They, as WikiLeaks has shown us, they cajoled and bribed, and by Cancun, they were ready for their next stage of their attack. And these, again, are these five countries, but now a larger group, the EU. And, of course, Canada's quite central. And if their objective is more or less business as usual, the strategy to pretend that they're going to do something is to revive a market ideology and to, particularly in Cancun, bring the forests. And that was where there was a huge controversy over RED. So that means the reduction of emissions through deforestation and forest degradation. They could just call it RED for short. And that's the privatization of the forests. And even the World Bank president, Robert Zoellick, said, well, in the forest live the charismatic species, big animals, let's privatize them and put them in the market for offsets. And then the next is going to be broadly soil and agriculture. And in that sense, the whole world's being commodified if it's got a little carbon, if these Cancun agreements really dig in. But their problem is that the carbon markets have crashed. I mean, they're only just beginning to come back online in Europe after some theft. The U.S. has just crashed entirely. Canada's not up. California might start one independently in a year, but they were just even, the courts last week said they shouldn't. So lots of complications over whether a market-based strategy will work. Now, that means in Durban they're going to have to try extra hard to revitalize that ideology of kind of green capitalism. And that's where the big movements are stepping up and saying, hell no, you know, this is just not going to work. It's already being proven. And it's not just. And we really need to do massive emissions cuts, decommission the carbon markets, get some climate debt flowing from the north, benefiting from all of the CO2 in the atmosphere, to the victims, especially in the south. Now, those are the sort of broad, you know, get transfer of clean energy technology for free, all kinds of things that are on the agenda. And I think they'll probably end up calling this the Conference of Polluters, and it'll be, I wouldn't say a Seattle. The balance of forces doesn't really allow a, you know, full sit-in and a prevention of an actual meeting to go. But it has that tone. You know, in other words, there's a sense in the activist community that this is, we can draw a line in Durban. Now, in South Africa, the complications are that there's a huge carbon emitter, 20 times worse than even the United States per person per unit of economic output. So it's a highly coal-dependent economy, and the call to keep the coal in the hole, like leave the oil in the soil, is just getting going amongst the movements. And they tried last year to stop a World Bank loan, $3.75 billion, the fourth largest coal-fired plant in the world, it's called Medupi, and lost. They're very angry and very much sensing that if Robert Zoellick, World Bank president, tries to, you know, he's running an interim fund, a green climate fund, he's got carbon trading, he's still making more coal and fossil fuel loans, that really is enemy number one. U.S. State Department, enemy number two, but, you know, Ottawa's not far behind. And now one of the questions is, okay, well, if there's good mobilizations of angry South Africans who are getting polluted, high electricity prices to pay the World Bank loan back, 25% increase a year, what should the Canadian solidarity activists do? Well, maybe, you know, you've got to demand more accountability from Canadian government officials, and maybe a call should be made to disinvite them to a conference of polluters, because they're big-time polluters, and actually try and keep them home. And if the balance of force is going to be changed and a country like Bolivia can actually have its voice heard in Durban, well, then we won't have the same kind of trajectory of Copenhagen, Cancun into fully privatized climate and nature.
Do you think that South Africa, the conference being in South Africa, there's a particular resonance or importance of the conference taking place in South Africa in regards to the specificities of climate reality in South Africa, but also in regards to the tensions that exist in South Africa between the current ANC government and social movements?
Absolutely, because, you know, about 10 years ago, the social movements began to mobilize as an independent progressive force outside the ruling party, and it was the Durban World Conference Against Racism, September 2001, just before that 9/11 craziness, and that's when, in a sense, on the world stage, not just the Durban community activists, but their activists across South Africa and the world, Muslims who were very concerned that the World Conference Against Racism was allowing Zionism to get a free pass. Zionism as racism was not on the agenda. And Africans saying, where's reparations for, you know, generations, centuries of slavery and colonialism and apartheid? And Mary Robinson, the head of that World Conference Against Racism, had taken that off the agenda because Colin Powell, State Department, Thabo Mbeki, the South African president, said, no, we don't want to raise those. And so that meant we had 15,000 people protesting 10 years ago at the World Conference Against Racism. There may be a few other examples of activists saying, the UN isn't actually our friend, and that was one of the great ones. The next year in Johannesburg, Rio Plus 10, it was called, World Summit on Sustainable Development, 30,000 people got up to protest carbon trading, water privatization, corporate control of the UN, a big mass march of anti-privatization, anti-neoliberal, progressive activists, environmentalists. And now what we've had in the meantime is a decline of that big independent left force, and now Durban Conference of Polluters is a chance to bring it back. So the South African political environment is quite ripe. You know, there are more protests in South Africa than anywhere in the world per person. I think maybe China is right up there. They're very competitive in China. And those protests haven't really got much direction. And they're about things like high electricity prices, which in turn relate to the bad management of coal and contribution to the climate, the cheapest electricity. Even a Canadian company, Alcan, as it was being bought by Rio Tinto, was offered the cheapest electricity in the world for a huge aluminum smelter, a place called Port Elizabeth, Kucha. So those are the dynamics in which the most unequal country in the world, because South Africa overtook Brazil recently, and the incredible tensions, and all that's missing really is a link between community labor and environmentalists, with women and the faith-based community, youth, everyone joining in. And so a challenge really is series of climate camps for really dedicated activists and broad consciousness raising. And in about 8 months, I'm pretty sure that the activists who've gathered in a big civil society hosting committee, big alternative space, we're still looking at what are the different logistical options, it'll make for an extremely inviting site for those activists who can come and for those who can stay in Ottawa and Toronto and Montreal across Canada, really putting pressure on the delegates so they don't come if they're going to contribute to the Conference of Polluters. So making sure that we have solidarity and a climate justice movement that is a genuinely global movement that does the kind of anti-apartheid solidarity, solidarity for cheap medicines, the things we've seen in South Africa really link global and South African struggle.
You've been listening to an interview with Patrick Bond from the Center for Civil Society at the University of KwaZulu-Natal in Durban, South Africa. In this interview, we heard about the upcoming grassroots mobilization in South Africa against the UN Summit on Climate Change to take place in Durban, South Africa in November-December 2011, occurring in the context of a growing global climate crisis. grassroots movements in South Africa are mobilizing in opposition to the UN climate conference after the widely perceived failure of COP17. Social movements in South Africa are moving to reject a UN process that fails to meaningfully include communities directly impacted by climate change in South Africa and around the world. For more information, visit groundwork.org.za. That's www.groundwork.org.za. Music in this report, Makan J of Senegal. This interview has been produced for broadcast on campus and community radio stations globally by Stefan Christoph.